picture this. You're in a hospital bed. You're seriously hurt in a ton of pain. But instead of getting help like you'd expect, you're being grilled by a cop who just wants a confession no matter what. It sounds like a bad TV show, right?
And it does.
But it was real life for a guy named Oliverio Martinez. And his case, Chavez v. Martinez, really digs into like how far the police can go when they're questioning someone.
Yeah, in this case, it asks this question that might surprise you. Like, can your rights actually be violated even if what you said under all that pressure, it's never used against you in court?
That's a good question.
It's the puzzle we're going to try to put together today.
Exactly. So let's go back to November 1997 in Oxnard, California.
Okay.
We've got Oliverio Martinez riding his bike when the police stop him.
Right.
Things get out of hand fast. Mm-hmm. There's a struggle. And Officer Pena, he shoots Martinez a bunch of times.
And the result of this was that Martinez, he ends up blind and paralyzed.
Wow.
And here's the thing. While he's in the hospital recovering from these like life-changing injuries, he's interrogated by a patrol supervisor, this guy named Ben Chavez. And this interrogation becomes the center of the legal battle.
And to make it even worse, Chavez doesn't even give him those Miranda warnings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the right to remain silent. Stuff we all know from TV.
You have the right to an attorney.
Exactly. Yeah. All that stuff.
All that stuff. He skips it.
And we're not talking about a quick little question here. This interrogation went on for like 45 minutes.
More than 45 minutes.
With Chavez coming back again and again to question Martinez.
Right.
Even when the medical staff were like, hey, maybe you should stop.
Yeah, they're telling him to stop.
It really shows you the kind of pressure Martinez was under.
It does. It paints a stark picture, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's a situation that makes you worry about coercion, you know, especially since Martinez was in such a vulnerable state.
Yeah, for sure.
But here's the crazy part. Martinez was never actually charged with the crime. And those statements he made during that tough interrogation,
they were never used in court.
Never used.
Never.
So that brings us to the main legal question here. Can Martinez actually say his rights were violated? You know, specifically his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination and his 14th Amendment right to due process, even though they never used what he said against him.
Right.
Because at first you might think, well, if they didn't use it, where's the harm? But it's not really that simple, is it?
Not at all, no.
No.
Martinez, I mean, understandably, he was pretty upset by this whole thing, and he filed a lawsuit under Section 1983 against Chavez, saying that his rights were violated whether or not they used the statements in court.
Right.
Regardless.
Now, before we move on, can you quickly explain what Section 1983 is all about?
Uh-huh.
I bet some of our listeners might not be super familiar with all the ins and outs of the legal code.
You bet I can. It's a powerful tool. Section 1983, it allows people to sue government officials if they think those officials violated their constitutional rights.
Okay.
It's a key way to hold those in power accountable.
I see. So in this case, Martinez is using Section 1983 to argue that Chavez, as a government official, went too far during that hospital interrogation.
Exactly.
Okay.
In this case, it really shows the tension between law enforcement doing their job and protecting people's rights, a tension that you see all over the legal system.
It's like a classic legal dilemma, right? On one hand, we want law enforcement to be able to really investigate crime.
We want them to be able to do their jobs.
Right.
Right.
But on the other hand, we need to make sure that people are protected from abuse and coercion, especially when they're vulnerable, like Martinez was.
Absolutely. And the court proceedings, they highlight how tricky this balance really is. The district court, they initially sided with Martinez, and they denied Chavez qualified immunity.
Okay, hold on. Qualified immunity. What does that even mean for people listening?
Yeah. So qualified immunity is this legal thing. It protects government officials like law enforcement from being sued for things they do on the job unless they violate really clear constitutional rights.
So it's basically like a shield for them if they're acting in good faith.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so the district court deciding to not give Chavez qualified immunity. That means they thought what he did was a clear violation of Martinez's rights, even with those protections for officials.
That's exactly right. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, they agreed with that. They upheld the district court's decision. They said that Chavez's questioning, even though those statements weren't used in the end, it was still a violation.
So at this point, things weren't looking so good for Chavez. It seemed like the courts were taking this idea of coercion during interrogations super seriously.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
But, like, you might expect the fight didn't stop there. The case, it went all the way up to the highest court, the Supreme Court. And as we'll see, things got even more complicated.
Of course, the Supreme Court is known for tackling these really tough legal questions, often with split decisions that show just how nuanced our legal system is. So what happened when Chavez v. Martinez got to this point?
Well, the justices didn't all agree on this one. In fact, there wasn't one single opinion that the majority of them fully agreed with. It shows how complex and controversial this whole issue of coercive interrogation really is.
Okay, so we've got a divided court, a tough legal question, and a man who went through a really intense interrogation while he was seriously hurt.
Right.
This is turning into a real legal thriller.
It is.
What happened next?
So to understand what the Supreme Court thought about this case, we need to break down their reasoning on both the Fifth and 14th Amendment claims separately. Remember, Martinez said Chavez violated both.
Right. Two separate claims, each with their own legal principles and what they mean. So where do we start?
Let's start with the Fifth Amendment. The majority opinion written by Justice Thomas, it focused on the exact words and historical context of the Fifth Amendment. They decided that its protection against self-incrimination is mainly a trial right.
Meaning
that what the Fifth Amendment really does is stop forced self-incriminating statements from being used against you in court.
Got it.
So since Martinez wasn't prosecuted and what he said was never used in court, Justice Thomas and those who agreed with him, they said there was no Fifth Amendment violation.
So they're saying that the Fifth Amendment is more about what happens in court, not necessarily the ways they got the confession.
Exactly. It's about making sure they don't use forced statements to get a conviction, not necessarily about controlling the interrogation itself.
Okay.
But this doesn't mean that the court thought Chavez did the right thing.
Right, because they still had to address the 14th Amendment claim, which focuses more on the actions themselves, whether or not they use those statements later in court.
Exactly. And here's where this idea of shocks the conscience comes in.
Okay. I've heard that phrase, shocks the conscience. But what does it actually mean in this case?
Well, to say there's a 14th Amendment violation, the thing they did has to be so bad, so over the top, that it shocks the conscience of a normal person. It's a really high bar to clear.
So did the court think what Chavez did met that standard?
The majority said that even though Chavez's interrogation was aggressive, it didn't quite reach that conscience-shocking level. They thought Chavez was doing a real investigation into a shooting where a cop was involved, and that Martinez did get medical care while they were questioning him.
Right.
So to them, it seemed like Chavez wasn't trying to hurt him on purpose.
So the court was trying to separate being a tough investigator from actually being out to hurt someone.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying that interrogation can be intense, but there's a difference between pushing for information and actually trying to harm someone, and that difference was really important to their decision.
Okay, so we've got the majority saying no Fifth Amendment violation because they didn't use the statements in court, and no 14th Amendment violation because what Chavez did while aggressive didn't shock the conscience.
Yeah, that's right. But remember, this is the Supreme Court, things are rarely that simple. We had some justices who agreed with the outcome, but for different reasons, and others who disagreed pretty strongly.
Of course. There's always more to the story. So what other opinions came out of this case?
Well, Justice Souter, while he agreed with the overall decision, he wrote a separate opinion that said there could still be due process claims under the 14th Amendment in really extreme cases of police coercion.
So he was basically saying that even though what Chavez did wasn't bad enough in this case, there could be other situations where similar stuff could violate the 14th Amendment.
Yes. And it's interesting that part of his opinion, the part about future 14th Amendment claims, was the only part that a majority of the justices agreed on. So even though the court decided for Chavez, this part of Justice Souter's opinion is still important.
Interesting. So even in this decision, that seems pretty clear. There are these little details and different ways of looking at it. This is why the Supreme Court is so interesting. It's never just black and white.
Exactly. And the dissenting opinions really highlight that point. Justices Stevens Kennedy and Ginsburg, they all said they were worried about the potential for abuse and the need for better protections against these coercive interrogation tactics, even if the statements aren't used in court.
It sounds like they felt the majority opinion didn't go far enough to protect people's rights during police questioning.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it. They were worried that just focusing on the trial part of the Fifth Amendment might give police too much freedom to use these tough tactics during interrogations, which could lead to false confessions or other unfair outcomes.
Okay, so we've got a split court, different opinions and some real concerns about the balance between police power and individual rights.
Right. And to make things even more interesting, the case actually went back to the lower courts for them to look at the due process claims, again, based on Justice Souter's opinion. So even though Chavez won in the end, the legal battle didn't really end there.
Wow. Talk about a legal roller coaster. So what does all of this mean for us, you know, everyday people who might end up talking to the police? What are the big things to take away from this case?
Well, practically speaking, Chavez v. Martinez shows how important it is to know your rights anytime you're dealing with the police, especially during questioning. Knowing that the Fifth Amendment might not protect you from tough questioning itself, but from them using what you say against you in court, that's really important.
So knowing your rights, especially the right to remain silent, is important even if you're not under arrest or facing charges.
Exactly. And if you are being questioned, it's always a good idea to have a lawyer there if you can. They can help make sure your rights are protected and that the interrogation is fair.
Good advice. So this case is more than just a legal puzzle. It actually teaches us some real-world lessons about how to protect ourselves when dealing with law enforcement.
Absolutely. And beyond just individuals, Chavez v. Martinez brings up some bigger questions for society about how far the police can go, the importance of due process, and that constant tension between what law enforcement needs and protecting individual rights.
That's a great point. It's not just about this one case. It's about the ideas that shape our whole legal system and how we balance security with freedom.
Exactly. And this case, with its split opinions and nuanced arguments, it really makes us face those tough questions. There's no easy answer, and it's something people are still debating today.
It really comes down to this. So according to this ruling, does the Fifth Amendment mainly protect you from self-incrimination at trial?
Yeah.
So like maybe aggressive interrogation tactics feel wrong.
Right.
But they might not actually be a Fifth Amendment violation unless they actually use those statements against you in court.
It's a subtle difference, but it's important.
Yeah.
But like we've talked about, the court didn't completely shut down the idea of holding officers accountable for extreme coercion. The 14th Amendment, with that shocks the conscience standard, it still gives you a way to challenge things legally.
Right. And Justice Souter's concurrence, while he said that the police do need some leeway, he also said there are limits.
For sure.
Like intentionally hurting someone during an interrogation, even if they don't use those statements in court, that could still be crossing that constitutional line.
Yeah. And this case, it reminds us that the legal system, especially when it comes to stuff like interrogation and who has the power, it's always changing.
So where does that leave our listeners who might be wondering how to deal with all this complex legal stuff?
It's tough.
The key takeaway here is knowing your rights, especially that right to remain silent, is so important anytime you're dealing with law enforcement.
I mean, it's not always possible, but having a lawyer there during questioning, that's the best way to make sure your rights are protected.
Absolutely good advice. So this case, it's not just some interesting legal puzzle. It gives us some real lessons about how to protect ourselves when we're dealing with the police.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that.
And this deep dive into Chavez v. Martinez, it's not just about one case, is it?
No.
It's about getting you to really think about how power works in our justice system. Like, how much freedom should we give law enforcement, and where do we draw that line to protect individual rights?
It's a debate that never ends, and there are no easy answers.
No easy answers.
But by thinking about these complex issues, you're helping to create a more informed and just society.
Well said. This deep dive into Chavez v. Martinez has been a fascinating look into this landmark case. We hope you've learned something about how police interrogations work and that tricky balance between effective law enforcement and protecting everyone's rights. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep learning.